Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. God's word is like this Red Sea. It's deep, unfathomable. There's so much to see. Is this too loud? No, I'm hearing it. The echo. There's so much to see and learn in one verse, one line, one word. This is how you know this is God's word. One line, one verse, one word, one person, one place, one thing. It's full. The fullness of God. Amazing. I want to look at two verses. We want to look at two things this morning. The angel and the pillar. Okay, two verses. Verses 19 and 20. The angel of God went before the camp of Israel. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And the angel and the pillar came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to Egypt, and it gave light by night to these, Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now this happened, this was all during the night. The Passover, when the children of Israel were told about the Passover, observed the Passover, it was at night. You hear me? This is a dark day we live in. When the sun rose up, the waters had parted, and they walked through. But this angel of God went before them. The angel of God led them through the wilderness. The whole time, the 40 years that they walked through the wilderness, this angel of God went before and behind them and led them and guided them and taught them and even chastened them. All of God's people were led by this angel of God. Now, who might that be? You say Christ. Yes, but this is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. Neither Christ are led by His Spirit. And look at Exodus 23. Exodus 23. This angel is mentioned several times through the Scripture. And David in the Psalms mentions him. You know, David spoke of the Holy Spirit. Men ignorantly say the Holy Spirit wasn't given until the New Testament. That's not true of it. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So Exodus 23, verse 20. Now who is speaking to them, by the way? Who is the Lord that's speaking to Israel? Christ. And he said, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared thee. Does all this sound familiar? Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not. Don't grieve him. Provoke him not. He will not pardon your transgressions. My name is in him. Now Christ pardons, doesn't he? He says, my name is in him. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Go with me to John 14. Now he said, this angel will keep thee in the way. Keep you in the way. He's going to point you to the way and lead you in the way and bring thee into the place I have prepared for you. This is exactly what our Lord said in John 14. He said in verse, I haven't found it yet. Okay, here it is. He said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? And then he said, I'm going away. You remember, Moses did not lead the people into the promised land yet. He represents the law. He can't. But Joshua did. Okay? But the Holy Spirit never left them. God, this angel never left them. All right, look at verse 16. Our Lord said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. Christ was their comforter all the days he was on earth. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive. The world doesn't see him. Egypt didn't have him. Egypt wasn't led by this angel. But you do, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, they're one and the same. These three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are one, aren't they? They're one. So this Holy Spirit, and then chapter 16, you know these verses well. He said, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll lead you in the way, Moses said, the Lord said to Moses. Well, that's Christ, isn't it? The way, the truth, and the life. He will not speak of himself. All right, then we read there where it said, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not. Look at Matthew 12. He will not pardon your transgression. You remember that? Well, look at Matthew 12 with me. Matthew 12. Our Lord said this of the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, Matthew 12:31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. He will not pardon you. So Scripture said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Now, go back to the text. With many of the children of Israel, God was not pleased, right? Are you with me? They were overthrown in the wilderness. They provoked God. They kept provoking God. They kept provoking the angel of God. They kept. God said, his spirit will not always strive with men. They hardened their hearts. They were hardened by the world, by sin. They were hardened. It no longer bothered them. In fact, they wanted to go back to it, and they did. The Lord let them. And what does the Scripture say? He that being often reproved, the Holy Spirit convinces of sin, of righteousness and judgment all the days of our life. He never quits doing that. But he that being often reproved by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, and hardeneth his neck, shall be suddenly cut off without remedy. That's serious, isn't it? Obey him. Don't provoke him. Don't provoke him. Follow him. Follow him. Grieve him not. Listen, heed, brothers and sisters. Listen, heed, and follow and obey the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. All right? Yield to him. Romans 6, a whole chapter is about yielding your members to the Word of God, the Spirit of God. That's what it's talking about. All right? This angel, now look at our text. This angel, which means messenger, he went before them. He was always out in front of them, leading, showing the way, wasn't he? What does the Spirit of God do? He takes the things of Christ. John 16, we didn't read all that, but you know it. You know it well. He takes the things of Christ and shows them to you. A Spirit-filled place and people and preaching is that which speaks of Christ. He won't speak of himself. He'll speak of Christ. All this talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, he's got the Spirit. Oh, does he now? Does he talk about Christ all the time? Well, no, but he... And he's not led by the Spirit of God. It's another spirit. Spirit of wildfire. He'll take, he said he'll lead the way. He'll show you the things of mine, Christ said, and show, take the things of mine and show them unto you. In Matthew 2, it says the star, there was a star that led the way of the wise men and the shepherds. What was the star leading them to? Well, the star came and they saw it and nobody else did. And that star came over the place where the child was. What child? The Son of the Most High God. Unto us a child is born. And stopped right there and said, here he is. And the wise men and the shepherds, they found him because that star went before them and led them to the Christ child. Okay? All right, now, it said in verse 19, he went behind them. He went before the... All right, look at this. Every word is significant. The camp. The angel of God went before the camp. He said they were in a camp, and the Egyptians were in a camp also. Hebrews 11, you don't have to turn. I'll turn for you. You know what we all are? Just a bunch of campers. This is not our permanent dwelling place. You understand me? Not me, God. You understand the word of God? We have here no continuing city, and this body is a tent, and we're going to fold it up real soon. It just staggers me. It just boggles my mind how old I'm getting. And some of you are a lot older than me. It's days, brothers and sisters. We're going to fold up this tent. They're going to lay it down. It's going to lay it down. 2 Corinthians 5 says, says this tabernacle is going to be dissolved. And we have a house not made with hands in the heaven, a new body. And Hebrews 11 says, all the people of God, they sojourned in a land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. They looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. We're passing through, brothers and sisters. We're passing through. Are you real concerned about the next election, who will be president? Were the children of Israel concerned about who was elected, Moab or Edom or Edom? Were they? Does it matter? I mean, yes, it does. I pray that the Lord will at least give us a man. Restrain the evil men that reign over us. But really, I've lived under 10 presidents since Dwight Eisenhower. We're passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims here. Pilgrims means you're passing through. You're camping. In a tent. The old saying, don't drive your stakes too deep. What does that mean? You're not staying. Verse 13 in Hebrews says, they all died in faith. They embraced the promises and confessed. They all confessed. They all knew this and readily accepted this and believed this. They were strangers and pilgrims. Yet. This is not my home. Okay. So the angel went before them, the camp. Now remember one more thing about this. As I said to start this is God's word. Every line is just full. The camp. What a message that is. The camp. But remember why God brought them out of Egypt. Remember what Moses said to Pharaoh. He said, this is why God has revealed himself to us and come to us. And this is why we're leaving. To go out there and hold a feast. To go out in the wilderness and hold a feast. You mean you want out of Egypt just so you can go out there and hold this Passover thing? Yes! They hadn't done it the whole time they were in Egypt.
And now God revealed to them, this is your life. And you know what they would do for the rest of their day?
Brothers and sisters, this needs to be shouted. What they did for the rest of their life, Brother Stephen, is camp around that temple, that tabernacle. Every single tribe was camped around the tabernacle for 40 years. Elizabeth, for 40 years they just travel a little while, stop and worship. Travel a little while, stop and worship. Their whole life was centered around worship. Why? They're not going to get to the promised land. They're going to be overcome in the wilderness unless the Lamb brings them in. Unless they, from their heart, worship God. The whole 40 years was about worship. That's why God brought them out. Egypt wasn't worshiping God. They didn't know God. They didn't care about God. And God said, I'm bringing you out to worship me. And I bring you in. And that's what you're going to do the rest of your days. Remember that. We're strangers and pilgrims. That's why he brought us out. Don't go back. And there's something that comes between us and the world. We're not in it, but we're not of it. There's something that's coming between us, I hope. It's absolutely something came between the children of Israel and Egypt, and they couldn't come near one another. All right, look at this, verse 19. I'm getting ahead of myself. The message is so urgent. This is not a Bible study. This is life. It's your life, our children's life. Might be my last message. Dare I preach it with anything but with all my heart. Dare you hear it. All right, it came before them. It led them. Oh, lead me by thy Spirit, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't leave me alone. I take one step without the Spirit of God, I'm going to fall in a ditch. If he leaves me, I'm back in Egypt right now. Right now. He went from before them to behind them. He went around. They were compassed about. What do you want to be compassed about? Hedged in. When I was a young boy, a teenager, I want to be free, you know, in the 70s, free at last. I left all this bondage and dominion of these cruel tyrants called my parents and all these rules. Well, I just about killed myself. I was safe under that loving, what I called bondage. I didn't know it. Turn me loose. Oh, no, Lord. Don't turn me loose, please. Well, he went from before them to behind them. Does that mean he let them go their own way? Oh, no. It's just telling us our God is before us, behind and before us. He's surrounded us. Angel of the Lord. And he went behind them. Don't you hear the world say this? Say, people love this. I got your back. Don't they? People love that term. I got your back. I mean, all these backbiters and people are against you. I'm watching over you. Yeah, right. These backwatchers quickly turn into backbiters, don't they? Don't trust men. Don't put your trust in men. Put your trust in the Lord. He's the one watching over you. You don't need somebody to watch over you. You need Jesus Christ. He's the one. Remember Psalm 4, verse 8, thou only makest me to dwell in safety. Oh, I got your back. Yeah. I don't need you to watch my back. But I sure need the Spirit of God to lead me and watch over me and protect me. Otherwise, I'm a goner. I'm gone. Now he went behind. All right, now look at this. It said, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. before and behind, this pillar, this cloud and fire. Cloud and fire. In verse 20, it says, this pillar and the angel, but this pillar and this fire came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. This pillar. Now, to this day, there's something, someone, and something that comes between the true people of God and the world. Nothing has changed. God hasn't changed. The truth hasn't changed. The way of salvation is the same. These people haven't changed. The world hasn't changed. It's all the same. Nothing new under the sun. And to this day, something and someone comes between God's true people and the world. He said in verse 20, it was a cloud in darkness to Egypt, but it was light to the children of Israel. What is that? Who is that? Who is that? It's Christ, the light of the world. The world doesn't believe it. He's just a man. No, he's not it. He's not just a man to me. He's a son of righteousness. He's God, man, manifested to me. The Word of God comes between us and the whole world. That's just the words of men, the world said. That's just the words of Paul. He's a woman hater. The Word of God. What Paul wrote, God's Word. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I do. I do. Children of Israel believed it was God's Word. They believed God. They believed Moses was God's man. Egypt said, he's just a man. We watched him grow up. He's nothing. Israel said, no, he's God's man. He has the Word of God. Which is it? Both can't be right. Huh? Let God be true, and every man a liar. I believe, the way they call heresy, I believe. All that the prophets have written, all that the apostles have written, everything, every word in this book, I believe to be the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. No scriptures of any private interpretation. Holy men of old, men chosen by God, not men, mind you, not women, men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. This is the Word of God. I believe every word of it, every jot, every tittle. Don't you? Do you? Do you really? Oh, blessed sister, you're a child of the Most High God. You're walking in light, not in darkness. You didn't always believe that. I didn't. There's a time I could care less about this book. There's a time I tried to refute it. It was a time I told my friends I can disprove that Bible. I said that. I'm still ashamed of that to this day. And when the Lord opened my blind eyes, I went around trying to find all those people that I sold that to. So I was wrong. I was wrong. It came between them. It was a pillar. What's a pillar? A pillar is a standing column. A standing column. Something that stands as a sentinel, as a way mark. Standing. The scripture says, thy counsel, the counsel of the Lord, standeth forever. All the counsel of men, all the works of men shall what? All. The counsel of the Lord standeth at the end. David said in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Men have tried to get rid of the Word of God. They've tried to get rid of the Bible. They tried to burn it. They tried to keep men from writing it. They did Jeremiah, that wicked king. What was his name? I forget. That wicked king, Jehoiakim. They brought him the word of Jeremiah, and he was sitting by a fire, and he kept tearing pages out of it and throwing it in the fire until he burnt the whole book of Jeremiah and burned it all and threw it in the fire. He said, I don't like that. Don't believe it. I've done away with it. God told Jeremiah, write another one. Forever, O Lord. You can't destroy the scriptures. Why? The master copy is in heaven. Write another one. Write another one. Old Martin Luther was a pillar. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And Martin Luther said, here I stand. And do no other. And Jesus, you know, the world deifies men and their works. During the Civil War, the Confederate troops saw a man standing back there, Lieutenant Thomas Jonathan Jackson. The enemy was surrounding them, and they looked back and they gathered strength. They said, "There he stands like a stone wall." Stonewall Jackson. No, he fought a losing cause. He's dead. His body's in the ground. I don't know if he knew the Lord or not. But I tell you who does stand like a stone wall. When this whole world ends, there's one stone that's not going to be left standing. Jesus Christ. He's the stone. He's the wall about us, isn't he? He's the rock of ages, cleft for me. Deify him. Look to him for your safety. He didn't fight a losing cause. He won. And we win in him too. There he stands. Like a pillar. And the Spirit of God holds him full. A pillar of cloud. Look at this. It was a cloud and fire. Cloud. Clouds are wonderful. You know that, aren't they? Aren't clouds wonderful? Aren't they beautiful? Another glorious part of God's creation. A cloud. If you've ever flown in an airplane, it's just amazing. We're just down on earth. Look up. You ever laid in the, I know you have, lay in a field or a yard and look up at the cloud. And look, there's a, look at all the different, just beautiful. It's God's creation. It should remind us of Jesus Christ. Every time you see the cloud, think of him. The whole creation speaks of him. The world, clouds, oh no, clouds are going to, it's going to rain on our parade. The clouds are a covering from the sun. You know how much we need covering from the sun? Well, the clouds obscure the sun so that we cannot see the sun. You can't look on the sun, can you? You cannot look fully on the sun. The Lord has to send an eclipse so you can just see a little of it. It would blind you. I tell you what, if you ever do see the sun, look into it very long. You know what will happen to you from then on? You'll see sunspots before your eyes. Are you with me? If you ever see Christ in all his glory, you know what you'll see? No glory of man ever again. You'll see the glory of Christ. Christ will be before your eyes the rest of your day. But we can't look at the sun in all its strength. We see him, we know him part, we see him part. We cannot look at the sun. Christ had to veil himself in this cloud of flesh. Christ had to veil himself so that we could see God. Job said, "I'm going to see God in my flesh," but he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and he's going to stand at the latter day on this earth." He did, Job, he did. And he veiled himself so men and women could see him. But the world didn't see him like that, did it? You're just a man. You make yourself to be God. You got it all backward. He's God. He made himself a man. And one day he took three chosen disciples. Three chosen disciples. He took them. He chose them and brought them up on the mountain and peeled back that cloud, that robe, that veil. They saw the sun. You know, they hit their faces, didn't they, John? They couldn't look on it. They saw the sun that shined in its strength. Cloud. A cloud is protection from the sun. It obscures the sun. It covering from the sun. It's protection from the sun, from the heat of the sun. The sun, what is the sun? It's a fire. It's consuming fire. You stay in the sun very long, it'll burn you up. It'll burn you up. Our God is a consuming fire. Christ came. He's called the Savior of the world. You know that? If Christ hadn't come, Lord, aren't you saying that? And when Christ comes for His people, the Lord is going to do that. Christ is called the Savior of the world. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ protects every human being on this earth until it's time. He gives life and He saves that life. We've talked about it before, these cars, these two-ton hurtling pieces of steel driving by each other 70, 80, 90 miles an hour within 5 or 6 feet of each other. Millions, hundreds of millions every day. There ought to be millions of car crashes. Not. There's some, not many. God is merciful. His tender mercies are over all His work. It's just constant, a clarion cry. God's watching. God takes care of everybody. God feeds everybody. God protecting everybody until His time. Okay. That's all He has to do. Okay. Go on then. Cloud protects us from the sun, or else the sun will burn us out. Christ came. Oh, He's a Savior of sinners. The gospel's still here. We're still crying unto rebels, men and women, whom God spares their life. Kiss the Son. Worship the Son. Come to the Son. Bow to the Son. Lest you perish from the way. This cloud is soothing it. Cloud is comforting. I told John that y'all come up when I'm ready. There's just too much here. A cloud is soothing in it. A cloud is comforting. A cloud is relief from the heat of the day. God's Word, God's Gospel, speaks of Christ. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Holy Spirit, in our day-to-day labors and sweat and trials, through fiery trials, what is it that comforts us? What does the Spirit of God bring to us that comforts us? The Gospel. We're out there in the heat of the day and the heat and the lust of sin. Oh, we come in here, need some comfort. We need some soothing relief, don't we? Please. Cloud is promise of rain. Cloud is the promise of rain. Oh, don't you love Psalm 72? The whole psalm is about the King. Coming King. David wrote it. Not about himself. About the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Psalm 72, verse 6 says, well, verse 5, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations, and he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace as long as the moon endureth. I could keep reading. He'll have dominion from sea to sea. Isn't that Him? That's wonderful. Look at, you have the Gadsby hymnal in front of you. You got one? I want you to look at it. I don't have it. Gadsby hymnal. Where are they, John? So 320. Turn to Gatsby's number 320. Brothers and sisters, do you not see, do you not feel that a dark cloud hangs over this world? You remember we looked at that? It was darkness that you could feel when they were holding the Passover. Remember that? Do you not feel and see the cloud, that dark cloud that hangs over this world? There's no dark cloud that hangs over God's people. It's bright. Look at Isaiah. Gadsby 3:20. Gadsby 3:20. Verse 3. Look at that. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings upon your head. Read on. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. What is that purpose? He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, unto John, making known unto his purpose. It's in Christ to gather together. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. The last line says, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain, but God is his own interpreter. He'll make it plain. Oh, it's not darkness at all. It's light to us. The world says, I don't see it that way. No, of course you don't. He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent. It's cloudy. Their judgments is clouded, isn't it? Cloud, not us. We see clearly. Clouds are promise of rain. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we pray. Come on down, Lord. Come down, Lord. Come get us. Clouds are the dust of his feet. You see clouds, you know what you need to be thinking? He's getting up. He's seated. When he by himself purged our sins, he went down, went back and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When you see clouds stirring, you need to think, he's getting up. He's at the door. Smile. It's going to make you smile. Behold, he cometh. Cometh with what? Clouds. He went up. How'd they go up? How'd they go up in the air? A cloud received him to obscure the world from him. But the disciples stood there looking. They still saw him. They still saw him. They didn't want to take their eyes off. So you men of Israel, don't stand there gazing, just go on about you. He's coming. He's coming back with clouds. And then the clouds shall be rolled back as a scroll. And that day. And every eye. And you know, someday there will be no more clouds. No more clouds. We don't need the cloud. There'll be no more sun. The Lamb will be the light. Is this the most wonderful thing you've ever heard in your life? That's his name. Man. Our dear sister Tammy, every time, said, that was wonderful. If it's about Jesus Christ, it's wonderful. His name is wonderful. Do you not see the wonder and amazement in it? Every word, every line. You're so blessed, Teresa. She's sitting there smiling. Not here. You've heard this thousands of times. Is it still new? Is it still a blessing to you? You must be a child of God, sister. I rejoice. Pillar of fire. Pillar of fire. What did Jeremiah say in chapter 20, 23? Is not my word like a fire? Didn't it? The word of God stands forever like a fire. Fire, long before there was electricity, there was one source of light in the darkness. All right? The sun was light by day, it lightened everyone in the world. And by night, fire. Fire. Christ is the light. He's the light. The Spirit of God is the light. Fire is light. Without light, we're blind. Without that, God's word, we're in darkness, even as others. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. He said, in thy light, Christ, we see light. Everything seemed clearly in light of Christ. Isn't it? I see clearly. You see clearly. Oh, bless God for the light. Firelight. Verse 20, I close. It says, this came between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. There's a division between God's people and the world. Always has been, always will be. When Christ was on the earth, it says there was a division because of him. Constantly, there's a division. Our Lord asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They said some good things. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Thomas, who do you say to that? Thomas, who do you say to you? Is he God, Thomas? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of God. Angel. Came between them. Our Lord said in His prayer, John 17, He said to the Father, I've given them Your word and the world hates them. I've given them the light of Thy word and the world hates them. Just because they have the light. The world loves darkness rather than light. He that loveth the light cometh to the light. And, well, the world hates it. Why? Because darkness exposes evil. The world hates it. Exposes their sin. Fire is light. The fire destroys. The fire burns up. Our Lord said, I am come to bring fire on earth. He's come to destroy all false religion. Jesus Christ is the only true religion. Any other religion is false. He comes to destroy, burn up the dross in His people, the vanity, the flesh, get rid of the flesh. Fire will burn the flesh, won't it? It won't burn gold. This thing called faith, more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. No, it won't burn up faith in Christ. Fire purifies. Fire warms. The world hears this. The world hears what I'm preaching right now, who I'm preaching right now. It has no effect on them. They'd rather hear something else. When God's people hear it, you know what they say? When Christ preached to those disciples on that road, he said, when He opened up the Scriptures, our hearts burned. Did not our hearts burn within us? He opened the Scriptures and showed us Himself. A fire warmed you. Does it still? If it ever quits warming you. In verse 20, it says, it was a cloud and darkness to Egypt. It gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. They could not come nigh one another. They could not get together. They could not dwell together. They could not. How can light have fellowship with darkness? You can't. They couldn't. They didn't. They wouldn't. If you're comfortable in the darkness that's in this world and with the people of this world, you're yet in darkness. I couldn't come that way. There's something that came between them. Is that right? And Peter said, now they think it's strange to God's true people, strangers. He wrote to the strangers. He said, they're going to think it's strange when you run not with them. You don't run with them. Can't. There's something coming between us. Is it? I don't like darkness. I don't like it anymore. Or light. Do you? Oh, may God make it so for everybody in this room. Okay, amen.